Salman Rushdie's The Moor's Last Sigh is the first novel he's published since he went into hiding in 1989 after a death sentence was issued against him by the Iranian government in punishment for his allegedly blasphemous book, The Satanic Verses. He's using his current book tour as an opportunity to resurface, with the help, of course, of bodyguards. The Moor's Last Sigh has already won England's Whitbread Award, as well as censure from the Indian government for its satiric portrait of a fascist Hindu politician who seems to be based on the real-life Hindu nationalist leader Bal Thackeray. Book critic Maureen Corrigan read The Moor's Last Sigh to see what all the fuss is about. Here's her review.
Trying to give you a sense in 3 minutes of what The Moor's Last Sigh is like as a novel is like trying to fit the ocean into a bathtub. This is a novel so vast, so multitudinous, it tempts me to talk in lists in order to cover everything. Salman Rushdie writes about love denied, secrets, betrayals, murders, and the theme no doubt currently closest to his heart, exile. He slips into different genres as effortlessly as Imelda Marcos once slipped into high heels. We get passages written in the style of mock epics, gothic novels, political commentaries, mysteries, romances, magical realist romps, and early James Bond movies. Rushdie rivals Dickens in his inventiveness of plotting and Joyce in his cheekiness of wordplay. And in addition to everything else he includes here, Rushdie even supplies reviewers with the perfect blurb for his novel. There's a scene early on where a character surveys a mural and exclaims, "It is the very swarm of life itself." He took the words right out of my mouth. The hero of The Moor's Last Sigh is a melancholy man called Moore, whose strange fate it is to live his life at twice the normal speed. By the age of 7 and a half, he tells us, I had entered adolescence, developing face fuzz, an Adam's apple, a deep bass voice, and fully fledged male sexual organs and appetites. At 10, I was a child trapped in the 6'6" body of a 20-year-old giant, and possessed, from these early moments of self-consciousness, by a terror of running out of time. Moore is the last male child of a wealthy, star-crossed Indian family, descended on one side from the Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama, and on the other from the illicit union of a Sephardic Jew with the Sultan Boabdil of Granada, the last Moorish ruler to be expelled from Spain. In a narrative that flashes back over 100 years, Moore recounts his family's bizarre and sometimes brutal history. We learn about his great uncle, who on his wedding night put on his bride's wedding gown and ran off to meet his male lover. Moore reveals how his own father once made a pact to exchange his firstborn son for stolen emeralds, and how he himself eventually became an enforcer for a sadistic Hindu mob. Most of all, though, Moore's whirlwind narrative centers on his mother, Aurora, a beautiful, internationally famous artist whose lethal gravitational pull, he tells us, denied me all hope of escape. As a reader with an old-fashioned taste for realistic characters, I tend to be wary of Baroque tales like The Moor's Last Sigh, where the characters are so over the top, they're more like fairy tale figures than flesh-and-blood personalities. And to tell the truth, I never came to care about Moore the way I care about characters like, say, Lily Bart or even Alexander Portnoy. But Rushdie's narrative is so intricate, I soon found myself happily lost in the novel's twistings and turnings, even without the lure of a compelling main character as a guide. Many critics are hailing The Moor's Last Sigh as glorious proof that Rushdie's confinement hasn't weakened his novelistic gift. But I think you'd almost have to be in enforced solitude to sustain the concentration necessary to create such an ingenious, hyperabundant tale. Like his hero Moore, perhaps Rushdie feels his restricted life racing past him, and so in compensation, he's crammed this novel full of nearly everything, real or imagined, he believes the world has to offer.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.